Welcome to Ghostbiz here on the Business Report. I'm Gary Strubel, and as usual, I'm chatting to the finance ghost. Just a note, you can subscribe to Ghostmail. That's at ghostmail.co.za. There's a number of different newsletters, podcasts, and all sorts of different content that you can go and find there if you'd like to stay up to date with what's going on in the Southern African markets. Right, Ghost, welcome back to the show. Let's start out with Nedbank. Important to say that we are talking about Nedbank of South Africa here. But the numbers don't look great. And in your newsletter, you say it's an awkward time for the banks. Perhaps just explain the context of that and give us a bit of insight into the fact that Nedbank doesn't seem to be shooting the lights out right now.
Hi, Gary. Hello to all of the listeners. Yeah, so I'll explain that as simply as I can. So the reason why I say it's a bit of an awkward time for the banks at the moment is because interest rates, and here I'm just primarily talking South Africa, which is the bulk of Nedbank's business, interest rates have come off a little bit. Now, what that means is that margins are now under pressure for the banks. If you have a business that just sells a product, you need to remember banks are selling debt. And so if interest rates come down, it means their product is now essentially forced to be a little bit cheaper, which isn't great for them. For obvious reasons, you know, they have the same head office costs, et cetera, et cetera. So rates coming down don't help banks. But what normally does then help them is if rates come down, what typically happens is consumers now have a higher propensity to borrow. They can afford a house, they can afford a car. And so banks are supposed to then see an uptick in loans and advances. And depending on where you are in the economic cycle, et cetera, this can then be an offsetting influence. And sometimes they can even do better when rates come down. Although I must say what I've generally observed is that banks do better when rates go up rather than come down. Nedbank seems to be living proof of that. I think the problem is that we are seeing such small incremental drops in the interest rates that it's enough to hurt their margin, but it's not enough to drive activity in terms of borrowing. So their bread and butter type business is under pressure at the moment. And what we saw at the likes of Standard Bank is actually that non-interest revenue is kind of pulling them through, whereas at Nedbank, that's not really happening. They're not getting that NIR uplift from other sources of revenue. Another point that comes through quite interestingly in the Nedbank numbers, if I dovetail it against the consumer story at the moment, then you have a situation where it looks like retailers are having no problem selling on credit, but the banks are struggling to get growth in loans and advances. So what you're seeing here is the disruptive effect of retailers giving credit, as well as all the buy now, pay later, BNPL stuff that is bursting onto the scene.
Just turn our attention to a mining stock. And Harmony, an interesting mining stock. It's been a tough old couple of decades for Harmony with dwindling resources and shafts not delivering and a couple of tragedies along the way. Their share price is up 65% year to date. And of course, that helps when the gold price keeps running. Give us some insights at Harmony.
Harmony, very much a gold company historically, but they are doing quite a lot to become a copper company as well. So that's something to keep in mind going forward that will certainly be interesting to keep track of. But yes, the performance at the moment, I mean, they're in the pound seats in terms of their choice of commodities, right? Everyone is talking about copper. And of course, gold is doing really well at the moment. But it's not good enough for the external commodity to be doing well. You also have to deliver on the opportunity. And many a South African mining house has gotten on the wrong side of that. But the good news is that Harmony is not one of them. They have guided that they will meet their original production guidance for the year ended June or end in June. It's almost there. And this means that they'll come in all in sustaining costs between 1,020,000 per kilo and 1.1 million rand per kilo. They were better than guidance on underground recovered grades. And then CapEx is coming in slightly below their guidance, which means they generated even more cash than they originally said that they would. So it's all looking very good for them. They are delivering when they need to, and that's why the share price is doing so well. I think that the current geopolitical environment is pretty supportive of gold continuing to do well. I do have a position in the sector being Pan-African Resources, which I bought optimistically, everything you buy is optimistic, but tactically earlier this year when the market dished out a pretty weird sell-off in that stock. So that turned out to be a good trade. And gold doing well, still doing really well, actually.
Right. Now, you're also a little bit in danger of becoming quite a cheerleader for this stock. And that is Prosus and Naspers, seen as a basket of stocks. Tell us why you're in such a good mood about the holding that you do have in this stock.
Yeah, that is true. I am enjoying the story at the moment. And as I've disclosed throughout, I do have a long position. So I am talking my own book there. But there are reasons why I took on that position. And most of them relate to new management, which I think I've mentioned several times on this show before, is Fabrizio Bluisi, I think, just comes in as an operator who's scaled businesses himself in emerging markets, knows how to do it, and is therefore the right guy to be running the show. But there's been some other stuff as well that has gone right for Prosus this year. I think the concerns around US exceptionalism would be right up there. The world is now looking for opportunities beyond the US, and the Prosus brand promise is that they are building a big global business that's made up of a whole lot of regional powerhouses or regional ecosystems, which then in turn are made up of a whole lot of underlying apps. So in India, for example, their ecosystem consists of multiple apps, but they have the ability to share data across the apps and to share learnings across the apps. Same story in Latin America, same story elsewhere in the world. So basically what you need to believe the process can do well, you need to obviously back the current management, which I do. I would encourage anyone to go and listen to how Bluisi speaks and read what he writes in the process reports and how different it is to where process has come from. You need to believe in e-commerce and platform adoption, which I certainly do. And you need to believe that things can keep going well outside of the US. And I do believe that these emerging markets are the real opportunity right now. And on top of that, if you're a big fan of AI, you'll certainly like what Prosus is saying. I'm kind of on the fence about AI. For me, I think it's overhyped. I think there will be use cases. There will be interesting stuff. I don't think it's going to be quite as amazing as, you know, AI evangelists would have us all believe right now. But there's enough there. Even if it's only 10% as good as people think it might be, a company like Prosus is not pricing in crazy AI hype like NVIDIA, for example, or some of the other names. So it's a more gentle way to play that theme.
And lastly, just a nibble in your Ghost Nibbles section, one of the director dealings from earlier in this week, and that was that the Dis-Chem founder, Ivan Saltzman, distributed shares worth 6.8 billion rand, nearly 7 billion rands worth of shares distributed within the family. And I mean, generational wealth is one of the objectives of building businesses, but more often than not, we see second and most often third generation wealth sometimes manages to figure out a way to lose it all. So just perhaps if we can get your sense of the timing of that particular distribution, the potential impact on the company, and your thoughts on how wealth like that is treated.
Yeah, it's an interesting point to discuss. And I guess wealth managers would be best placed to comment on this. I mean, I'm certainly aware of the, you know, the third generation curse, essentially. They didn't actually see the hard work required to make the money. The third generation kind of grows up and the money's just always there. And so they feel like they can take big risks with it. And often they lose it, which is why it's very important to put family structures in place that work. So at the moment, what we're seeing is second generation in the Saltzman family. So you know, Ivan's certainly not a youngster anymore. So he's basically starting to spread the shares out into the family, his kids. So that would be second generation who are now receiving these shares. And I have no doubt that they've had it drummed into them, you know, to just do the right stuff with it. In terms of the impact on the company, to be honest, Dis-Chem is already under professional management. They've actually done a lot of stuff in recent years to separate the business from the family, to get rid of some of the related party trades that are in place and properties and all that kind of thing. So for me, it's not really an indication, good, bad, or anything around Dis-Chem itself. I think it's quite an indifferent situation. If anything, it'll be interesting to see, you know, if anything else comes of this. So if you see these Dis-Chem directors perhaps getting involved in private equity or getting involved in building out other investment vehicles, maybe their names start to pop up elsewhere as the Saltzman family, that does happen. And we'll have to see if anything pops up of interest. But certainly for Dis-Chem, I don't think it really tells us much in either direction, to be honest.
Thanks, Ghost. That's it for this week. That's the Ghost Biz. We'll be back next week. Remember, you can pick up this episode if you missed something or want to listen to another piece again, wherever you pick up your podcasts, Android, Apple, Spotify, or at nova.com.na. We love hearing from you as well. So if you'd like to hear about any particular share that you might be interested in, let us know and we'll get the Ghost's view on it. That's it for this week. We'll be back next week. Cheers.